All right, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, where I, you know, share politics and tea. We often have uncomfortable conversations, unapologetically Black-centered news, commentary, and just my opinion, okay? Everything is about me on this show, on the Black Conversion Show. The host is with the most is Brandi Grayson. So anyway, we always start off the show with just kind of checking in. Today, I don't have any co-host. You know, Cousin Clyde, he just comes and goes as he pleases. Who knows where he's at right now? Maybe he will text in and say he's in Italy. Who knows? But I do have my bro Luke, so I'm happy to have Luke in the house with me, my producer.
Glad to be here with you, Brandi.
Okay, period, Luke. So let's just check in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It is baffling to me that we are already at the end of March.
I know.
We have a lot going on here around the radio station, the radio network. And it's wild that April is already next week.
I know. I feel the same way. Like, I feel like time is flying, and it's not because I'm having fun. Okay, so...
Yeah, that saying, I don't know if it holds up as well anymore.
I don't think so either. A part of me is excited to get through the next few months because I'm hoping that as a country, as a nation, our white people step up to the plate and check who they voted into office or check who they allowed to weasel his way into office. Who knows? He may not even... one, you know, Trumpity Dumpity is who I'm speaking of. But anyway, enough about him right now. I'm doing okay. This morning has been interesting, to say the least. So, y'all, I don't know if y'all know this, but I do my best to be intentional and deliberate on how I start my day. Most days, not all the time. God knows nothing about me is perfect. Amen to that. So anyway, I woke up at like 5:30 a.m. to get my workout on, to get my little drink. You know, you got to take your pre-drink to get the energy you need, muscle recovery, whatever you want to call it. So I go grab that out the refrigerator, right? And then I go meditate for 15 minutes and I head to the basement. So I have my own little gym that I've put together over the years. It took me a while to put my little gym together and I'm very proud of my gym, matter of fact. So anyway, it started off great. I'm happy. I'm looking at myself in the mirror because I look at myself and I tell myself, girl, you a beast. You got this. You everything. You amazing. Go, Black girl. Go, Black girl. Go. Right. So that's how I talk to myself in the mirror while working out.
We talk to ourselves very differently. When I am working out, I am so mean to myself.
What do you say, Luke?
Oh, like it's, I just keep telling myself that I need to keep going. And like, that is amazing for you that you've got positive affirmation. Because when I'm working out, there are very few people that are meaner to themselves, I think, than I am. Because it's the only way that I can motivate myself.
To be mean?
Yeah, it's not a, oh, you got this kind of thing. It's like, you better keep running.
Right. And be a champ. Don't be a loser.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you better keep going. And it's like, and some things I tell myself in my own head that are not FCC friendly. Yeah. So I can't share them here right now.
I think he might have got that from his daddy. But we're not even going to go there, the psychoanalysis stuff right now.
All right, fine. We're not going to go that deep of a check-in. All right, fair enough. But that's an amazing way to work out every morning because that's got to get you in at least good headspace.
Yeah, most of the time it does. But guess what happened after that, right? So I got a 3-pound jump rope, which is kind of like a thick rope. And I'm jumping and I'm thinking about the podcast today and everything and how, oh, I should get an owl and start recording the whole thing. And as I'm jumping, I step on the bottom of the rope. My ankle twists and I hit the floor. So I'm
yeah, that's a good workout turning bad real quick there then. That's not fun.
So I lay there for a second. I'm like, okay, because everything in my life is about God, right? So everything is like, okay, God, what was that about? You know what I'm saying? So I lay there for a second and I get up and I say, okay, just shake it off, girl. You all right? So I continue to work out, get up, get the kids up. Let's go, y'all. We got to go. Running late, all that good stuff. So then I finally get in the car running 20 minutes late and the visor is down in the car and I'm not paying attention. So I kind of scoot up to adjust myself and smack myself in the face with the visor.
Oh, yeah, it's a series of unfortunate events right there throughout the morning.
Yeah, and this is the thing, y'all, and I have a point. You know, I'm going to connect a point while I'm sharing this with you. So then we're driving. I'm like, okay, I got to take Messiah to camp. That's my 8-year-old, right? And he's a new camp. He's going to camp in Fitchburg. And my assistant, you know, put the address on my thing, but she didn't add on my calendar. I live by my calendar. So if you invite me somewhere or you make an appointment, you have to put it on my calendar. So I click on the calendar that's on my thing for my event for 8 o'clock. But guess what? It's not actually to his camp. It's to his old school, Wingra. So I end up driving all the way to the west side from Sun Prairie, which is about 30 minutes, right? Oh, and then I realized, I don't think this is the right place. So then I go back to my calendar. Yep, it's an old calendar invite from years ago, right? So I'm like, great. So then I'm like, where is the camp? Because I have no idea where the camp is. So then I have to drive 15 minutes back. So my point is, I thank God I had already texted Luke to like to let you know that I'm running late. But my point of sharing this is life is so funny because every single time, I'm not every single time, but a lot of times when you're attempting to practice being a certain kind of way, deliberate, intentional. I'm like, I'm gonna have an intentional day. I'm gonna have a beautiful day. I'm gonna get up and do all the things I need to do to set the trajectory to a beautiful day. And then everything after that was not as beautiful as I would have liked. But this is the catch in life, in this whole metaphysics thing. The point of all those things happening to me was actually to practice the thing I set out to do, and that is to be deliberate. And sometimes we don't see it, and sometimes like, what the heck? I did this, and now everything's falling apart. So the last hiccup, I just laughed. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm getting what I asked for in the universe, which is intentionality and deliberate practice of having a great day. So I'm actually having a great day, y'all. So that was a long way to, for my check-in to say I'm having a good day. You're listening to The Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. And we're just doing a quick check-in. But what I want to do today is share and talk about politics and tea, because that's why you listen. You listen to be messy. And we are a small city, right? And Dane County is where this podcast recording is happening. So y'all listen to Be Messy. What's Messy Brandi about today? What's she gonna say to pee off people? And I get it, because it is entertaining. Amen. So what I want to do, though, is talk today about the breach of, you know, Trump and his breach of national security. Like, I feel like we are literally in the twilight zone, and people and the supporters are like, I don't know what land they live in, but it is not the land of like us, of where everybody else is. I also want to talk about the 13-year-old girl found dead in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, murdered, a black girl murdered. I mean, and not just murdered. It was gruesome. And the people who are charged with the murder is surprising, y'all. We're going to talk about this and how the person charged ended up like trying to get away and got shot by police in Columbus, Ohio. So it's just a whole Jerry Springer scandal. So let's talk about that today. Also, there is a couple that adopted black children and were enslaving them, y'all, in Washington, just adopting kids and enslaving them. You know what? Let's just talk about it a little bit later. And also in news, PA flips to Democrat Democrat. Like they were, I guess the House of Representatives, the State of Representatives or whatever, House of Assembly or whatever you call it. They flipped. One of the Republicans left and took another job. And y'all actually put in and elected a Democrat. So it flipped the whole state. So I won't be surprised if that start happening across the country in the next year or two as we have elections. And believe me, I'm not a person who knows when elections are happening. I know we have one in April here for the Supreme Court judge. And I'm sure it's going to flip to Democrat because y'all Republicans have been showing your butt. And come to think about it, did you hear about the clerk of courts here being suspended for ballots not being? Oh my God. And that is happening all across the country, y'all. So in Madison, Wisconsin, our clerk of court person who's supposed to be making sure the ballots get count was placed on leave, right? Because the sister, white lady, didn't do what she was supposed to do. And apparently some ballots didn't get count. She might be paid off by Elon, y'all. So who knows? Sister might got a check somewhere, but I don't know, y'all. It's a whole mess in this country we called America. Okay. Oh, my God. And also on the news, there's a student at Terce University who was apprehended. I don't know the other word, by ICE. They stopped her while she was walking, a Turkish student, and she had a valid visa. And then they said, we don't know where she's at. It's a show in America right now, y'all. So anyway, we're going to talk about all this stuff. But before we talk about all the politics happening across the world, last week we talked about how it is dangerous for people known as black to go to the doctor. I want to play this quick clip of a black doctor who says this is why. She makes a good point why it's dangerous for black people to see white doctors and how white doctors perceive our health and how they see us. Go ahead, Luke, for me. Play this quick clip.
Do you know why it's important to have a black doctor if you're black? There was a patient I saw today. I got a consult. It's like, hey, you think this is frostbite? I was like, oh man, thinking that it's going to be dry gangrene. And if you don't know what that is, that means like your toes are basically going to fall off and you need to put betadine and everything to make sure it stays dry until you can amputate it. I said, do they have, you know, what's going on? Like, they're like, oh, it looks necrotic. It looks like blackened. It looks... I went to the patient and the patient had hyperpigmentation. They told me it was necrotic. That patient had cap refill. Their toes were alive. They're just black. Yeah.
Could you imagine having black toes and then a doctor is like, they need to be cut off? Like, that's crazy. Black people have black toes, right? Like, and because they're not, they don't have the experience with black people and how we look or how our skin, I don't even get it. Like, if I see black people toes, I'm like, yeah, those are regular black people toes. Maybe he was super dark skinned and, you know, he's like, oh my God, it's so black, it's falling off. You know what I mean? Like, what? How do you mistake dead? How do you mistake somebody's feet for being dead? Like, so again, you guys, like, I was just, you know, following up on our conversation last week about how dangerous it is for people known as black to go to the doctor. And I think at this juncture in our world, in our society, and what's happening in our world, it's really important for people known as black to advocate for themselves and be very intentional on taking care of themselves. I shared last week how an Arabic doctor, Indian doctor, said to me, hey, stay out of the hospital. It's where people die. I had an asthma attack. He said, every time you as a black woman come here, your chances of dying increases tenfold. I was shocked that he said it to me. But ever since then, I have not been back to the hospital for an asthma attack. Okay. It might be checking for flu, COVID, or any things like that. But, you know, I'm not going there. So just a reminder, people known as black, you have to create the world that you desire. We have to create a world where we are encouraging our children to become doctors. We're giving them access to the resources and opportunities to be doctors. We need us, people known as black. And besides, I mean, Trump and his minions are trying to enforce segregation again. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for us, right? Like, it's a perfect opportunity. I say separate NFL, basketball, colleges, dancers, rappers, hip hop, music, everything, art, science, and all of it. Separate it all. Black people, you have to go over here. Here's your money. Here's your opportunity. White people, you over there. And let's see who come home crying first. Okay. You want to stay tuned. We're going to get into the politics and tea here on the Black Conversion Show with your girl. We're going to talk about Trumpity Dumpity. We're going to talk about the 13-year-old murdered. We're going to talk about Amazing Grace and how racist that song is and how black people love it here on 92.7 FM. See you in a minute.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Okay, I am back. I am back. Yo, girl. That would be me. Brandi Grayson here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. And today we, as always, politics, tea, and history in the mix, okay? Before break, we was talking about how it's unsafe for people known as black to go to the doctor. Don't do it. I mean, you got to do it sometimes, but man, y'all just need to take care of yourself. Eat well. Stop eating the processed food. No McDonald's. I know that's all they put in our community. Sometimes you just got to take the extra ride to Trader Joe's because I don't know about the fruit and the produce at Hy-Vee, Metro Mark, Pick and Save, or Woodman's. It's a hit or miss, okay? So just go on to Trader Joe's where they use a different standard of something. I don't even know what Trader Joe's do. What is their niche, Trader Joe's? Like, they have some kind of saying about what kind of products they let on their shelves?
Oh, I don't know. I go once in a while, but I don't go very often to Trader Joe's.
Oh my God.
There's usually, like, something I'm going to Trader Joe's specific for. It's they got really good pizza dough.
So oh, I know that.
You can do like homemade pizza dough. It kind of comes in a little baggie.
Period.
There's a couple other things that we like from there. I just go to Woodman's because it's closest, right? It's the closest to me. It's the most convenient.
Yeah.
And I do like the fact that it's employee-owned in Wisconsin and stuff like that.
So. It is. So Woodman's is my backup. I do go to Trader Joe's. And they have some kind of rule about, they have different food standards in Germany. And this is a Germany company. So they follow those same food standards. And if y'all know anything about American food, we don't care. We just kill our citizens with carcinogens and chemicals and all kind of stuff. So there's a level of like screening, all the products have to pass to be on their shelves, and there's no like name brand items. So the fruit is always fresh, and they have lots of selections of organic, and they have pre-made sandwiches that are also very fresh. So I get the pre-made salads, the kale and the chicken. I absolutely love it. The wraps, they have organic chicken wings in the bag for $9.99. So grab a couple of those, black people, because y'all know we love chicken wings, okay? And God, might as well make sure they ain't got hormones and all that other stuff in it, because I am not giving up chicken. And they have great salmon. So anyway, I digress. Just take care of yourself and eat right. And, you know, take the extra few minutes and find yourself at Trader Joe's for the for the good stuff. So back to the tea. Okay, y'all. So one of the things that I have been in discovery of, and I wish I had someone here to have the conversation with me about how people known as Black, how we do things and we practice traditions, and we're not very... I don't know. We are unaware of the background or the history of said traditions. And sometimes said traditions are actually rooted in racist past. So I want to talk about the song Amazing Grace. And if you know anything about people known as Black in the church, Amazing Grace is sung everywhere, all the time, funerals. Amazing Grace, how sweet it is now. Okay, anyway, let's go ahead and play this clip. From this black man. I don't even know who he is. I just be finding random clips because when I'm like in my no mind space at home, I just on reels looking at history, relationships, and metaphysics stuff. And then I get caught up. So anyway, let's play this guy and let's see what he says about Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace has become the anthem in black churches. It was written by a murderer. It was written by a slave trader, a rapist who murdered and raped and pillaged and plundered. And then when he got wealthy and filthy rich and left the business, he writes this poem about his redemption. This rapist, this genocider, retires from committing murder, rape, and genocide and enslaving African peoples. And he writes a poem called Amazing Grace that we've now taken his filthy words and made it our spiritual anthem. That's the best we can do. Could you imagine the Jews singing Hitler as their primary prayer anthem? Would you think they would dare recite a prayer that's written by anyone that ran any of those camps? But here we are making the anthem of somebody that ran a genocidal camp, because that's what a slave ship was. And we think it's something beautiful. But we must be careful, because our spirit knows who he is.
Okay, Luke. So, yeah, y'all, so... I don't even know what to say. It's one of those things that I found out a few years ago. Again, the name of the person who wrote Amazing Grace, which is a spiritual anthem for most black church, specifically Baptist church. Actually, Baptist church is the only kind of church I know, and like non-denomination churches. I visited a Pentecostal church. I think that's what you call it, and a Lutheran, but I don't really have a reference or experience with those denominations. However, this guy's name is John Newton. He wrote it in 1772. It was a poem. And basically, he was just asking God for redemption because he realized after he stopped doing what he was doing, which is murdering, you know, enslaving people, raping women, cutting babies up, all those things that happened during slavery, he was asking for redemption from God, right? And then it was converted to Christianity. And what they did, it was Newton and a guy, what is his name? Cooper, William Cooper. They collaborated on the poem and then they wrote a hymn book. And if you know anything about black churches, back in the day, we lived by hymn books and we still sing hymns. And I think Catholic churches sing hymns too. But for people known as black, the culture of hymns is... it's in our hearts, right? So the conversation or the question that I would like to put out there, is it appropriate for us to make things a part of our tradition that was rooted in racism? Now, there's two parts to this, right? Like, and I'm not taking a stand on either way, because sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And then sometimes we get our power back by reclaiming something and making it ours. Like, so, and a perfect example of that would be the N-word, right? A lot of white people be like, if black people can say it, I can say it. And why can't they say it? Or why are they saying it? And some black people be like, we shouldn't say it either because of the history. It's also kind of like the word, it's the word, right? Like, I remember that being very, you know, I don't say that word or use it, but I remember, like, for the LGBT community, especially black folks, they took it back and made it part of their, the way that, you know, a way to empower, I don't have the right words for it, but it became theirs and they reclaimed it, right? And it's not something I, as a hetero cis normative person, should ever use, though. You know what I mean? Because I understand that that's not for me to use. So I think the same thing could be said about this song, Amazing Grace, that people known as black, it was added to a hymn book written by someone who was a slave master and all of that. And then we reclaimed it and made it part of our tradition. And I don't know how I feel about it. I do feel like we need to know what we're saying, right? Because, for example, there's another thing I would like to teach you. I don't know if you guys are aware that the word master, like the master bedroom, came from slavery, right? That was the master room, like where the master lived. And slaves would be like, that's the master quarters or whatever. And then it became part of our way of speaking of the primary bedroom. So every time you say master bedroom, you are really, you know, using and in alignment with slavery. You know what I mean? I don't know how else to explain that, but there are words that we use right now where we don't know the history or the etymology of the word, which I think we need to know more, just like this song, because would we choose it if we knew the history of it? I don't think we would. And I think a good point that he made was like, would Jews sing a song written by Hitler in his redemption? I don't think so, right? So I don't know. I just want to educate y'all, put that out there, and maybe beg the question for our black churches and ministers and pastors, like, can we do something else, right? Can we choose a different song that was written by people known as black? We wrote a lot of hymns. We wrote a lot of folk songs. We wrote a lot of things to get us through our day. During slavery, we would sing songs to sing messages to the plantations miles away. We were very creative in how we communicated. So I don't know. That's something to think about, y'all. So, but I said, like, I don't have a opinion. I do, I guess. But, you know, either way, it's really a discussion. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, where you'll learn new things, new concepts, where we focus on the history and what's currently happening with people known as black. I am here to teach you, educate you, and to make you uncomfortable, which makes you uncomfortable. I bet you this conversation around Amazing Grace has made people uncomfortable, but that's okay. That's what I'm here for. So stay tuned. Some more politics and tea with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, here on the Black Conversion Show. All right, I am back, your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM WMDX on the Black Conversion Show. So prior to break, we were just talking about Amazing Grace, the song that was, you know, the anthem for black people and spirituality. We sing it all the time in the church, and how we discuss this history. So anyway, we're going to move on from that. I want to discuss this couple. I think they're out of Washington. They have been charged with, I don't even know the charges. I know they've been sentenced to over 300 plus years. But this particular couple were adopting children and enslaving them. And if you had to guess what color you think these children were, black, of course. Let's listen to this short clip real quick. It's a long clip, but we're going to make it short, okay? From the judge who was on the bench and who has sentenced them. Let's see what she has to say about it.
Let's talk about it.
Instead of apologizing today, because you never have said you're sorry, but what you did do was put on one of the most reprehensible, narcissistic defenses that I have ever seen in my years of trial work. And may God have mercy on your souls, because this court will not.
And the court did not have mercy. She sentenced them to the maximum allowed in these cases. Jean Ann Whitefeather was sentenced to 215 years in prison, and her husband, Donald Lance, got a term of up to 160 years in prison. As we all know, back in January, they were found guilty on multiple counts of forced labor, human trafficking, and child abuse and neglect.
So, yeah. Also, so that is the foundation of slavery, right? Like, so you adopt these children, you make them work, you make them slave, you cuss them out, you beat them, you abuse them. They don't go to school. They don't have access to anything that a normal child or a child should have access to. So big ups to the judge, and to, you know, like she said, the court will not have mercy on your soul. And I think we need more of that. In similar news, there was a white boy who attempted to drown a black kid, and he was let go. So he attempted to murder the kid and by drowning him, and the judge let him go. So the judge did the opposite of what the other judge did. And the judge excuse was, they were just rough playing. But the juvenile, the white kid who attempted to kill the other 15-year-old kid, was saying racial slurs and I hate N-words, I hate blah, 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 and tried to kill the boy. It's just crazy what's going on in our world, but not even what's going on in our world, but what's been going on in our world. And I think with social media, where, you know, it's more, we can see it, but this isn't new. People like to act like Trump is new or the people who support him is new. Those folks are the byproducts of the people that were hanging people known as black in the 70s and 80s. Remember, lynching didn't just stop. It always happened. Whether we are aware of it or not is a different conversation, because again, all of our news outlets, our news outlets is controlled, right? You see what you see. Are we hearing or seeing a lot of protests across the country right now? No, we're not seeing it as we should. And it's happening everywhere all the time. Are we seeing the protests of town hall meetings? No, but we should. But it's happening everywhere. White people are upset. And when white people get upset about their liberties being crossed or they're not getting the access to resources that they think they should have, they show up and they show up at these town halls and they protest. One of the things folks are peed off, of course, is about is Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, veteran benefits, disability access, all the things that they too depended on. And the sad part is, y'all, is that we talked about this prior to elections. They literally released Project 2025 with 900 and some pages of everything that they were going to do down to the T, and no one paid attention. So when people say, well, I didn't know this was going to happen, they told you it was going to happen. And then you were like, oh, it's okay. It's okay if you cut my Medicaid. And again, this goes back to the conversation we had last week here on the Black Conversion Show about how white people in power, people with power, use this relationship dynamic between white people and black people to trick white people and giving up their own rights and giving up their own money and their own security in fear of those people known as black. It's just this way of being, this strategy that's been created through racism, that white folks were so afraid of black people and brown people, but mostly black people, that they went along. And then now they're like, oh my God, I didn't know it was going to affect me. I thought it was just going to be these people you went after. No, ma'am, DEI is white women. DEI is people with disabilities. DEI is gay white men. Okay, after you forgot, didn't you? So anyway, that's just a reminder to pay attention to what's occurring in our world and how we're often manipulated. I want to do the clip from Kamala Harris real quick. When she basically warned us, she said, hey, this thing is going to happen. Luke, if you can get that clip ready for me. And it's so funny because I just wish she was our president. Y'all, I just wish she was. She is just so black. She's like an auntie black. And before I play this clip, again, you're listening to the 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, often talking about uncomfortable things, making opinions or commentary that makes you uncomfortable. But the one thing I realized when we were talking about doctors, and then I thought about Kamala, is that all skin folks and kin folks, I have a doctor here. Her name is Dr. Morgan White here in Madison, Wisconsin. She's black. And I went to her because she's black. But I have not had a good experience with this black woman. And I had went to the doctor last week about my my headache and my fever and all that. And I'm not going to say what was said, because I had a lot of the CNAs and nursing assistants are Black, and doctors, urgent care. If you notice, they're mostly Black, because that's what we're kind of, trained to be, caregivers and nurturers. So we end up in CNA positions, nursing positions, all social worker positions, all the caring positions or whatever. And I was talking to them like, what is up with her? Like, I feel like she's not a sister. Like, there's a doctor that I seen in digestive clinic, and she was on point with me. I loved her. I felt like, oh, that's a sister right there. But this doctor here in Madison, I don't feel like she's a sister. I feel like she was adopted by white people, and she has no way that connection to relate. And that might just be y'all mad at me. And I know y'all gonna be mad, some of my people that follow me, like, you can't talk about it. But I'm just saying the facts. So anyway, let's go back to Kamala, who I feel like she got the sister Shea Butter vibes. Okay. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta get the Michelle Obama vibes. You know Michelle Obama use Shea Butter, and she go get her silk press from somebody Black or Egyptian. We need them kind of Black people. Go ahead with Kamala. Let her remind y'all of the warning that she gave us before Trump.
Just read Project 2025.
The former president said that's not true.
He says everything. Come on. Are we really taking his word for it?
Tariffs on all imports that he has described would be a 20% sales tax, in essence, on basic necessities for the average American worker.
I told you so.
They even want to eliminate the Department of Education and end Head Start, which of course would take away preschool from hundreds of thousands of our children.
I told you so.
Otherwise, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch.
To say, I told you so.
Trump intends to cut Social Security and Medicare.
She told y'all.
He intends to give tax breaks to billionaires and big corporations and make working families foot the bill.
Y'all didn't believe him.
Ask Donald Trump what his plan is for Black America. Democracy. You know what he says he'll do? Terminate the Constitution of the United States.
Go ahead, y'all. Go ahead, go cut it, Luke. I just wanted to just remind y'all that she told you so.
And the reel for everybody, we can add it to the podcast. But okay. it has the headline. Every time the I hate to say I told you so, it's got headlines pretty much exactly outlining
what she told you.
The former vice president said.
Yeah. Well, anyway, shout out to you, Kamala. Okay, Kamala. Did I say her name right? Kamala. I messed it up. See, I did white people thing. And it's okay. You know, sometimes I have white moments. Okay.
I didn't know when I should interject and be like, hey.
It's okay. Please correct me anytime, Luke. There will be no hard feelings. I won't be like, that's a white man correcting me. That's not our relationship. So it's all good. But I just wanted to remind y'all that y'all crazy. I had a lady come in my office the other day, y'all, and go off about urban triage. Like, and she was a Black woman. And she was like, y'all was in the street. And I respected y'all when y'all was in the street, but now y'all ain't in the street. Y'all out here doing white people work. I said, sis, how long you expect my Black old self to be on the front lines? And how long did you expect me to be able to take care of my family? I did what I needed to do, which was to transition into providing services in a different way for my people. But she's like, I voted for Trump. And this is the reason I voted for Trump, because Kamala wasn't a real Black woman. I said, Lord, oh, Lord, we need to get a book that's called The Real Definition of Blackness, right? And it's not skin color, because I'm going to tell you this. I have some people that's lacking melanin that I don't know how to say it, but they're my road dogs. And they honorary Black, okay? They honorary Black. You know why they honorary Black? And there's some people on my staff that's honorary Black. There's some people on my board that's honorary Black. One of my board members said the other day, I think we stepped up to level 2. Now we can actually come to the barbecue.
That's what I was about to ask. Is it just being invited to the cookout? Come on.
You get to bring level 2. You get to bring yourself, but no friends. Okay. Cause we don't know who your other people is. So just bring you, you know what I mean? You the honorary person. When you move to level 3, you get to bring 1+1. Level 4, you get to bring a dish. You know what I mean? There's levels to this. Okay. So I think we need to create some kind of dictionary or some type of book that defines what we mean when we talk about Blackness. Cause it's not always skin color. And we keep talking about that, like, especially locally, where we are literally in the sunken place, y'all. This is where's Waldo. That's what Madison is. It's like this weird place where everybody acts like they're for people and they center humanity. And they're like, Pleasantville, good morning, everyone. How are you? How can I help you? We're here for you. Oh, my God, I can't believe that thing happened. And then they'll leave the room and like, oh, I can't stand her. We need to not to put any money towards homeless people or youth work. We need, and then they go back in public like, oh, my God, that's such a heartfelt story. That's Madison. That is Madison. And it's not just in white face. This is actually black people, brown people, all kind of people who act like this. Because in Madison, the Dane County area, y'all, if you don't act like that, you can't actually be part of the in crowd. So for people who are new to me or new listening to me, I have been in Madison all of my life since I was like 15. No, I was 11. I just lied. I came to Marquette Middle School or elementary, fifth, sixth grade, something like that. But I had a history in Chicago where, you know, I grew up in the hood. So I have a different understanding of life, a different type of foundation, meaning that by the age of 5, I was taking care of myself. By the age of 7, I was taking care of myself and my siblings, getting them up, making breakfast, getting us out. I went to school without my hair combed often, and my teacher often combed my hair. We lived in a neighborhood, 96 in Perry, and I also lived off 75th in Halstead. We lived in neighborhoods and communities where there was a lot of gun violence, but we also lived in communities where everybody knew you and everybody knew your parents. So when I got in trouble, I was off to the left. People would correct me, you know? So anyway, I share that to say I come from a different kind of foundation. I was involved in gangs. I seen my mom prostitute. She was addicted to crack. I grew up very fast. I've lived multiple lives. So then I came here to what I call Pleasantville. I didn't have the language for racism. I didn't understand it. I told y'all that last week. And then here, everybody was so nice. It just seemed like everybody was so nice. But there was something like lingering underneath it all, where people would talk to me in a certain way and I didn't get it, or I would never get promoted at work, or I would be in a class at UW when people would say things or talk at me, but I didn't have the words and I tried to explain it to people and other people couldn't help me distinguish it. So this is Pleasantville, where like you can't just say we need diversity and hire black people, because black people aren't always skin folks. We need to hire people who get what it means to navigate systems, who have the proper analysis of racism and systems. We need to hire people who have the most vulnerable people. They're able to center them and they understand what intersectionality is. By the way, you can no longer use that in federal contracts or refer to intersectionality. So that's a no-no word for people. And if you don't know what intersectionality is, you should look it up. It was a word coined by Kim Crenshaw. She's a feminist. Womanist is what she actually calls herself. And she created it as a way to describe the compounded effect of falling in different categories like disabled, black, privilege, classism, and the compounding effects when it's stacked up on people. So anyway, look it up. It's something to learn. Stay tuned. You're on the Black Convergence Show with me, Brandi Grayson, your girl. When we return, we're going to talk about Trumpity Dumpity and J.D. Vons. Oh my God, you got to listen to this clip. Stay tuned to 92.7 FM WMDA.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I like how that sound makes me move my little shoulders. Sound all kind of like Dubai-ish. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM. Hey, WMDX. You're listening to The Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So before break, I don't know what I was talking about. Probably a whole lot of stuff. But what I want to make sure I get to is I usually try to sum it up, but girl, just, you know, re-listening to it. Listen to me again next week. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about a couple things. I want to make sure we talk about the murder of the 13-year-old girl in Toledo, Ohio. So apparently, the girl was adopted by her mother's foster mother. So you get that? Her mother was in foster care. And then the foster mother petitioned to the court to take the baby, and she won. And the mother is now saying that she lied on her when she petitioned the court, but she let her have her daughter because she thought that she was fit. And I mean, she did okay with her. But anyway, this woman name is KJ Roos, who is the grandmother, but not the biological grandmother, if that makes sense. The little girl's mother trusted her because, again, she was the foster mom, right? And the girl started speaking out recently, the girl that was murdered at school, about the abuse. So the school called CPS. They investigated but did nothing to help the kid. That happens a lot with, you know, allegations of child abuse. Teachers and the kids saw the bruises on the girls from her hands, from her grandmother, who they attempted to try to get her help. The dad said that he had called the house because he heard that there was a home invasion. So anyway, he went over to the house and to do like a wellness check. But they supposedly checked on the kid and then they left. And then supposedly after they left, there was the young girl was kidnapped. That's what the grandmother told police. So she called the police. The grandmother did, reported the daughter, the child kidnapped. And then the whole time she's at like a friend's house drinking and smoking and texting herself from another phone, acting like she was the kidnapper. This is so weird, y'all. So she was texting herself, acting like she was the kidnapper, demanding money. So, which is weird. But there's more news reports that the grandmother had men around the daughter who was sex offenders and pedophiles. So it even gets weirder, y'all. So there was a neighbor. The body was found the other day in an abandoned building. There's a neighbor who has a camera, like a, you know how we do the cameras on the door, who caught the father car outside of the building, and the camera caught him moving the body to the second floor. And then there's the investigator, the detective, who spoke about the situation and called him an animal, saying that the baby girl's body was mutilated, her throat was slashed, and her hands were cut off, and she was raped. Y'all, this is sick. So then he flees, right? And he goes to Columbus, Ohio, and they get a tip that he's in Columbus, Ohio, and he gets shot by Columbus, Ohio police. Is this not like, I don't know what kind of story this is, but it's sickening. And I don't know what to think or what else to say. And I feel so terrible for this baby girl who did not deserve to be treated like this and murdered. I don't even know what to say, but I think it's important for us to just be aware of what's happening, like, in our communities, because this is, I swear when I first saw the story, I'm just, again, biases and assumptions, right? How our minds are trained. I was like, there's got to be some white people because black people don't do things like this. No, they're black. And that was so shocking and surprising. So anyway, moving on to national news. We have Trumpity Dumpity in the news for leaking war news, like war information, like a little kid, like he was it. Y'all, that's all I got to say. Okay, let's go ahead to the clip. It's a clip of the people, your Republicans and his chief of staff and representatives responding to the war plan leak. Go ahead, Luke.
Make up the White House saying that no war plans were shared, yeah, criticizing
baloney.
The reporter.
That's baloney. I don't think they ought to just be honest and right up to it.
It was incredibly sloppy. But that being said, I think it was a mistake, and I can say for certain they're going to put protocols in place so that doesn't happen again.
People make mistakes, you know? Those who do not make mistakes can throw the first stone.
The leaders on that group chat are extraordinary people. I know them all personally. They're patriots. They're doing a great job for the country. And that was a successful mission. They've acknowledged that there was an error, and they're correct in it. And I would have asked the same thing of the Biden administration. I don't think anyone should have lost their job over that.
What do you think of the White House saying?
Okay, that's just enough. You got to be out of your mind to believe anything that they said. First of all, let's just imagine if this was Obama. If this was Obama, he would be impeached immediately for incompetency, right? His whole cabinet would be like, I don't know the rules or the processes, but it's no way that Obama and his team and his people could be as idiotic and as low IQ as these people are. And the fact that they can't even have an integrity conversation or accountability conversation that's authentic is even also more telltale of the narcissism. Kind of like, oh, that's baloney. It's no big deal. Anybody could have made the mistake to send a create. First of all, why are you creating a chat about war plans? And then talking about it so casually as it's okay to bomb and kill children and women. They're literally like, oh yeah, we're going to go to Yemen, drop these bombs on children. This is where we're going to do it at. It's no big deal. Cool, y'all. What else we gonna do? We gonna drink tonight? What y'all wanna do? Like, this is the president of the United States and his military team. This is the person who has access to the nuclear bombs. This is a person that got access to all y'all. I don't even gotta go on. Y'all. This is sickening. And other news I wanted to talk about that I just thought about. You see how my mind goes? AI, y'all. You know, your boy, what is his name? Elon is trying to buy all the AI stuff. There's this company that hasn't went public yet. He's offered them $97 billion. And if he gets access to that company, he already has access to all of our information. And this is something you might not know. The AI is built off data mining. So their ability to collect all of our data in federal government and then create AI that responds to it. So they could create an AI that literally charges us based on our income, how we buy. So you can turn a shopping store into like, oh, that's Brandy Grayson, so we're going to charge her $10 instead of $5. I don't have time to explain data mining to you, but the fact that Elon Musk has access to all of our data, how much you make, when you was born, your color, your everything is traumatic and scary. And we're going to talk about that more next week about data mining and why we are facing a crisis that we're not even recognizing. And your boy JD Vance, real quick, was caught on recording talking about Elon Musk and talking about he's an idiot and all this other stuff and how he's not the president of the United States. This stuff, this is like Jerry Springer on 10. For white people, y'all can never talk about black people again. This is, y'all have put y'all lowest of low, the most mediocrity people in office and in front line. And we are a laughing joke across the globe. So this one on you. Black people, remember to stay home, stay soft. Don't get involved in this. This isn't our fight, okay? On 92.7 FM, your girl, Brandy Grayson, Black Conversion Show. I am out. Make sure you tune in next week to some more politics and tea. Peace, love, and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.